All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com.
Welcome to episode 204 of the DFO Rundown. I'm Jason Greger alongside Frank Saravalli, who has become a regular at Florida Disney World. Frank, what is it, your 19th time you said in the last few years? No, I'm joking. I think it's like six or seven.
It feels like it. Honestly, it's like paying a tax to the mouse. It's honestly coming back to the hotel after. So we did a quick little trip to Disney last week. That's like my wife's into that and that's her thing. So such is life. But there's a guy walking into the hotel. He had like five kids in tow. He was carrying two coolers and a stroller, and he just looked absolutely defeated. And I was just like, buddy, been there. Know how you feel.
Is there like a room at the hotel where you have, you know, that parents who've been lugging their kids around for 14 hours can meet up for therapy or
unfortunately a post-game
beverage? There should be. That would be a killer.
I just, what would you do with your kids then? That's the problem. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the they ain't going anywhere. I don't know.
Sleep in the hotel room. They hire out like a TV watcher while your kids sleep.
I don't know how they do it, man. Honestly, I don't know. Like, I don't know how people do it and do it regularly. I'm good if I never go again in my life.
See. I've never been actually yet. We're gonna
You've go. Never next been year. To Disney?
No.
Land or go, world?
No, we're gonna go next year with my son. So that'll be his first time.
Well, you'll understand then when you get there. Are you going to go to Land or World?
Well, see, that's where the debate is. I've had people tell me which one's necessarily better. The World has way more parks, and it's probably a little bit for older people. But that Disneyland is better for young ones. Well, he's 10, so he's kind of maybe a tweener. I'm not sure, but I don't know. The one's way closer. That's for me. That's all I know.
Yeah, there's also just way, there's definitely way more to do at Disney World. You mentioned the parks. There's like four of them.
Okay.
So it's a monstrosity. It's its own, like, it's its own zip code, everything. Like, it's crazy.
Because, like, I've been to Universal Studios, which I know is right around Disneyland. So, to me, Disneyland has a few different things, is it not?
Yeah, it's just, yeah. We could do a whole pod just based on this. Like, all I know is got back late last week, and I needed a vacation from the vacation. Like, I took basically the only 3 days that I took off all season, and it was an instant regret.
Yeah, that's a tough one. So any of our listeners, tell me if you're taking a 10-year-old who likes rides, which is better, Disney World or Disneyland? Let me know on Twitter at Jason Greger. I'd be very curious to see what the insight is from veterans, the guys like the one Frank described. You know, the guy who's tired, who's been there with two kids. I only have one, so it'll be easier. I don't need a stroller anymore, so that'll be maybe for myself, but I won't need one for my kids. So, but any of those veterans who have trugged around with multiple kids, who have felt the pain, that's who I want to hear from.
Just be prepared to remortgage your house.
Yeah, here it's expensive.
Oh, just without having bought one thing, family of four, just to walk in the gates, $1,000.
A day?
Yes. And you would think with the lines to get in that they're giving it away. Really? And the lines to actually ride the rides.
And did you buy that? Like, some people have told me if you go, you got to get to pay the extra $50 for the pass. So you don't have to wait in line. Is that legit?
Depends where you go. Like, so they've changed it at Disney a bit. Like, it's like $15 a ride now, and you kind of have to pay a la carte. It used to be that you would get three passes a day. It's a mess. And then at Universal, it's even crazier. It's like $200 per person. And then you get there and it says, oh, I paid for the express pass. You only get to skip half the line, not the whole line.
What?
Yeah. So it basically comes out to $400 per person per day to enter the park if you get the express pass at Universal.
Whew.
I'm telling you, the lines and the people there, like, you would think that they are giving it away. If you have a family of four and you stay in the park and you go for a week, like, you cannot do the trip for less than $15,000. And that's not including your flights.
Huh. I'm going to have to rethink this.
I'm telling you, do everything you can to avoid this.
I go to Maui and Maui's expensive. But oof, geez.
I went to get a slice of pizza in the park. Okay. A slice of pizza, $13. If you would like a whole pizza, it's $43. Pizza.
Yeah. It is better
to at my local neighborhood pizzeria, it's $12.50.
Yeah.
Like, I understand a little bit of markup. Like, if you want to hammer me for $30, double it. All right, whatever. 43 bones for a pizza. What?
So what's the best time of year then? That's the other question at Jason Greger on Twitter. What's the best time of year where it's the fewest line, like the lowest lineup? That's what I need. I don't care if it's a time that's not ideal for me, but I'm going for the ideal fewer lines. So that's what I need.
Good luck. I would say almost every day is insanely crowded.
Yeah.
There's a couple weeks in early December before Christmas that it's not very crowded, and I've done that. But even then, you're still waiting out. Like, you're legit waiting 90 minutes per ride, 2 hours per ride.
90 minutes?
Oh my God. I love that you haven't been there because it sounds so mind blowing. Like, why would anyone sign up?
Yeah. For this? Like, who are these? Why would you go for that?
Oh, dude, you are preaching to the converted, my man.
Holy, like, there should be a limit. There should be a maximum capacity at this place.
No.
Like, people want to talk about changing the seating rules in the NHL. Let's talk about changing the capacity rules at Disney World and Disneyland. Now, that to me would have some legitimacy.
Any dad out there who's done this is like, they're nodding their head in approval as I say this. Save yourself. Not go.
Mike, you know what? My son's never really asked. Frick, maybe
don't bring it up.
Yeah. He's brought it up once, but that's it. So
It's nice that you live forever away from either
you've
park.
You've convinced me. Exactly. Yeah. You've convinced me. I'll wait until, because you know what, Frank? When I was like 19, I went a trip to Vegas, and it wasn't good enough because I was 19, so I went to L.A. And I went to Six Flags, and me and my brother. Now, that was unreal. It was all adult rides at 19, and there was like, I don't remember any, maybe waited 10 minutes in line. That was one of the, like, I love rides. So maybe I'll just wait till he's older and I'll go to Six Flags.
Yeah, wait till he's older and you can go to Epcot and drink your way around the world. Oh. Stop at each country and have a pop.
All right. Well, see, that sounds way better. That's like a father-son bonding experience. I can get around.
Okay. That's pretty awesome.
I like that. Let's get to some NHL. It's another week's gone by. We had a rare week off for us. And not a whole lot changed in the playoff standings, really. You look at it, Pittsburgh and New York are still in. And Florida is the only team with a chance, but they had a brutal week. They lost three in a row. And now they're 3 points back of Pittsburgh. They're four back of the Islanders. Now, they do have a game in hand versus the Islanders. And they play at Ottawa tonight, do the Panthers. And the Islanders are taking on New Jersey. So, in theory, Florida wins, Islanders lose in regulation. Then they're two back with a game in hand. So, there's still a little semblance of a race. Conversely, if the Panthers lose tonight and the Islanders win, I think they're done for sure. But, you know, there's lots on the line tonight for those Panthers, Frank. They got to figure things out. Like, talk about the worst time of the year to have a three-game losing skid.
Yeah, they played so well before that, too. It's kind of hard to figure for a team that's knocking on the door. Like, they could have been in a spot waking up today where they'd be, like, quite literally tied and right there. And in the meantime, while we were away, no shock, but the Canes and Devils both clinched, and the Toronto Maple Leafs can clinch on Monday night.
Oh, yeah. Like, there's, you know, those guys are making the playoffs, and, you know, there's lots of people in basically Toronto, nowhere else, that's complaining about I've known since November who you're playing. I'm like, well, then be better than Boston in the regular season. Florida was. Like, it's not like you can't finish first. Florida proved it. You can finish first in your division if you don't want to be in the 2-3 spot. Finish first.
Crazy.
In the West, both of us thought Calgary and Nashville had slim chances of catching Winnipeg, and another week has passed, and really not much has changed there, other than the games in hand. And games in hand, we talked about, are only valuable if you win them. And, you know, Calgary's four back with eight to go, and they don't have the tiebreaker. So they basically have to gain 5 points on Winnipeg. So let's say Calgary goes 7-1, for argument's sake. That gets them 95 points. Then Winnipeg, what do they need? They need 10 points then out of eight games. They'd have to go 5-3. That's all they'd have to do, right? But I guess if they go, you know, 5-2-1, well, then they're in. Or if they lose four, so I guess there's a chance. But Calgary winning 7 out of 8 games, Frank, is about as likely, I think, as you going to Disney World again this season.
Yeah, that ain't happening, bud. I told my wife, look, no problem. If you want to go again, all good. Just count me out.
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing with like having another baby. If you want to have another baby, that's great. It just ain't with me. But for the Flames, like, why? It's amazing that the Jets just haven't put them out of their misery. Yeah. Both the Flames and Nashville. Like, Nashville actually has a better points percentage. It's the Preds who have a more likely chance to make the playoffs than the Flames.
Yeah.
But the Jets just get it together. All you need is to win like three games in a row and it's over.
And Winnipeg has a pretty easy sched this week. They're in San Jose Tuesday, and then they play Detroit at home on Friday. So they got lots of rest between games. You know, San Jose right now is they've gained significant ground in the Bedard race. That is probably the most intriguing race, arguably.
Oh, the Blackhawks right now are doing it perfect too. Five in a row, five losses. Oh,
hey, what are the Sharks won? 1 out of 12. So an update there for all of our fans at the bottom of the stands. San Jose and Columbus each with 53 points. Columbus 10 games left. San Jose has 9. Chicago has 9. They're at 54. And the Anaheim Ducks, losers of 4 in a row, have put themselves back in the race as they have 56. So it's 53 San Jose and Columbus, 54 Chicago, 56 Anaheim. And, you know, that race is going to heat up. No question. Those teams are, and some of them had a stretch, like Arizona's winning a lot of games. And so they put themselves out. It's really a four team race now, because even Montreal's now at 64 points. They got no chance. So their only best chance is having the fifth best odds.
How about the Canucks? The Canucks are 2 points away. They're 2 points away from not having any, like a 0% chance.
Well, three, right? Because they got to catch Washington. Right now they're in 10th and Ottawa's 11th. The top 11 teams have a chance.
Okay, but still, that's 3 points away from 0%.
Yeah.
Which is a failure.
Well, as I've always said, the just proof in the pudding, don't ask players to tank. It doesn't work. They're never going to tank.
Oh, look at Arizona. They're the prime. We talked about that last week, was just that they're the prime. I think we believe we had a little fisting reference. They're fisting their GM.
Oh,
I mean, but here's the thing. I don't think it really matters once you get from 31st to 27th or 28th. You're talking about 2%, 1% either way.
Yeah.
The real big difference is between 32nd and 31st. Because the way the odds are structured, having gotten rid of, well, first off, you can't climb more than 10 spots. So the only 11 teams have a chance. Prior to, you know, a couple of years ago, that was all teams that missed the playoffs. So you've taken those additional percentage points from teams that were to miss the playoffs, and you've actually theoretically added them to the first lottery position. So what you'll see published from the NHL is that the 32nd place team has an 18.5% chance to win Connor Bedard. But in reality, it's actually 25.5%. So the difference between 32nd and 31st is 12 whole percentage points, which is an enormous deal. You go from 18.5 published to 25.5% in reality. That's a huge difference.
Oh, 100%. And the other thing is, there used to be three spots. Now it's only two that you can move up in. So that's another thing to look for.
Well, and that actually matters, because I don't know if you watched any of the Frozen Four or NCAA tournament, excuse me, to get down to the Frozen Four. But Fantilli, like getting Adam Fantilli is in most years, almost every year, would be the number one overall pick.
Yep. That's fair. Yeah, he should be a good player. Like, but, you know, there's probably a significant gap. Like, look at Jack Eichel and Connor McDavid.
Right, Jack Eichel. There is a significant gap. But the point being, you don't want to be finishing seventh or eighth like the Canucks might and not have a shot at not only Connor Bedard, but then not have a shot at any of the next three guys.
Yeah. So it, yeah. Like you look at Vancouver. Yeah. They're right on the cusp of knocking themselves out of it, which is, and I know the players give two, you know, what's Frank, the players, they could care. Like a lot of the players, I remember talking to veterans. They don't even know who half the draft picks are. Like you've heard of Bedard because he's being hyped up a lot, but most years they didn't know like who Nico Hischier was, and no offense to him or Rasmus Dahlin. The vast majority of players are like, who
is that? All players or just the older players? Like I would argue that Kent Johnson and I don't know, pick another Columbus player. Like those guys are like, yeah, we like, how amazing would it be to get Connor Bedard?
Yeah, they would like him. I agree with you. I think there's some guys who know it, right? Younger players on bad teams have a better chance because they've likely played with them, right? Like Mason McTavish would know full well what Bedard can do.
When it's not play with them, but it's also the idea of playing with them for the next 10 years that I think they actually care.
Yeah. But do they care enough not to play their best? Exactly. So, yeah, Ken Johnson isn't going to go in the room. Hey, Johnny, Patrick, let's take our foot off the gas tonight. I'd like us to get a 25% chance to win Bedard. Like, how do you even, you know, how do you broach? That's why the conversation is ridiculous. How do you think any self-respecting is going to do it?
I think you don't say it and you just do it. Hey guys, these last 8 games of the season mean absolutely SFA. Sweet fuck all. let's just do everything that we can to make sure that we get this guy, if possible. So let's give ourselves the best opportunity because it's going to make our team better next year.
You know what? I would love True Serum on a leader of a team, if that's ever been said. Like, was that mentioned?
I said, don't say it. Just do it. Just show up. I don't know.
But if one guy does it, that's
get
my
absolutely
point.
Go have a ball the night before. Go get tanked.
Like the best guy to do it in hockey would be your veteran goalie. Right? Oh, I'm gonna let a squeaker in here. Oh, I'm gonna I'm gonna leave a top shelf open. Gonna go down early. Here comes Austin Matthews. Oh, I'm going to give him 6 inches on the shoulder. I'm pretty sure he can score. That's the guy.
I that's a conversation I'd be having, but I don't even know that you need to say anything. Yeah. If you're really committed to that team and for the foreseeable future, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen, which makes the lottery race actually maybe more intriguing than the playoff race right now because it's closer. You got four teams within 3 points. So it's actually probably a little bit more entertaining for those who are watching. Now, speaking of Matthews, what do you have? 13 shots on 15 shots on Saturday night. And I know he'd been playing through an injury, Frank. It looks like he's healthy. Like just the velocity in which the puck was coming off his stick. And that could be huge news for Toronto if Austin Matthews rounds into form for playoff time.
I can't even tell you how significant a development that is. All season long, regardless of whatever the stats said, it's been an eye test thing. Austin Matthews hasn't had any of the same swagger, any of the same threat. Like that guy, he was an assassin last year. He walked into the rink and you're like, this guy, he knows he's good. And for whatever reason, I think must be due to health. He hasn't had it this season and hasn't been close. And the first time that I saw it all season long was Saturday night. 15 shots on net, 2 goals. By virtue of that, still only shot 13%, which is mind blowing. It is the second most shots on goal in a game by a player in the salary cap era. It's tied for third most ever since shots have been counted. Like it's an incredible, I think, not achievement, but an incredible indication of where this guy's game is at right now at this exact moment of time. It feels like you could put a stake in the ground and say game number, whatever it was, 72, 71, that Austin Matthews is back, game number 72. And if that is the case, and I, you know, you look at these last three games and you say 6 points in 2 games, 4 goals in 3 games, you say, okay, it looks like he's back. And then now that was the production wise. Now you've got the actual, you know, game and eye test to prove it. So if you're going back 14 games, that's 10 goals in 14 games, 20 points. It feels like he's back.
Well, and that would be huge news for the Toronto Maple Leafs because not only is he back, but the Tampa Bay Lightning, Frank, are kind of, you know, they're stubbing their toe on the way to the playoffs. They have not looked great here for the last 10 games. They've lost 4 in a row. And I know people say, hey, like there's a lot of people say you can't just flip a switch. If you're a team that's gone to the Stanley Cup final 3 times, maybe you have a better odds of flipping the switch. But their defense core in Tampa is a shadow of the defense core that went to the Stanley Cup finals. They're just not as deep, right? I don't think anyone can argue that they're not as deep as they've been. And for all the Leafs fans that were complaining about, oh, we know who we play, I'll tell you right now, you would rather have this format than if you went to 1-4 because or 4-5 because you would be playing the Rangers instead of Tampa Bay because Toronto's currently 4th. Rangers are 5th, 1 point behind them. They're 8-1-1 in their last 10 games and Tampa 6. So be careful what you wish for and complain for because I know that in 16 and 17, Pittsburgh and Washington, they had the 2 most points in the East and they met in the second round and Washington lost both times. Pittsburgh went to the Stanley Cup final. But, you know, it's a rarity that, the teams with the most points are, meeting up. I know you look at Tampa and Boston also, I think in 18 that happened. But the other years, it hasn't happened since. And if you're Toronto, and that's where most of the moaning's been coming from, they should look and say, oh, no. This playoff format's fine, because otherwise you'd be playing a surging Rangers team. And that would be, I think right now that would still be a harder matchup than Tampa Bay.
I'm over the whining about the playoff format in general.
Agreed.
Just, it is what it is. There's no appetite to change it from the NHL's perspective. And I don't think it's broken.
No. Except 4-4. That's the easiest change.
Yeah. Okay, fine. But I don't even know that you still don't, I don't know that you need it.
Well, think about it for
this. It's a nice wrinkle, but I don't know that you need it.
But let's say Vegas, Frank, wins their division, right? They end up having to fly to Winnipeg instead of Seattle, over 1 point difference between Winnipeg and Seattle. Like, you're the number one team. That's a pretty significant. Now you're going two time zones instead of going a puddle jumper to Seattle. That's all I'm saying. It doesn't make sense. It's like you're punishing the team that finished first.
I guess. It's not broken. No reason to keep complaining about it. It ain't changing anyway, even if you do. And did anyone feel bad for the Calgary Flames in the 1980s?
Well, it was more so the Jets, man. Let's be honest. Winnipeg Jets fans.
How many really good Flames teams lost to the Oilers year after year? Not the Jets. Like, well, it took until 1989 for that Flames team that could have won the cup any which of those years to get through and win.
Well, no. Remember, the Steve Smith goal was 86, right?
And I'm saying win the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, yeah. But they beat the Oilers, right, in 86.
Right. All I'm saying is that it put in another division that Flames team might have went to the final five times.
Yeah.
Did That's anyone fair. feel bad for them?
But
anyone,
I would argue, like,
did anyone cry for them?
Yeah, like the Jets were in even worse, because Calgary and Edmonton were the two best teams a lot of those years. And the Jets would finish like with 100 points, and they would be fourth most points in the NHL. And they'd have to face one of those two teams in the first round or the second round. So trust me, Toronto fans, others have had it much worse.
And if you don't break through this year again, the fault is on your own team.
100%.
Because now you're dealing with two different opponents. The Bruins and then the Lightning.
Yeah.
And they also, like, hold on a second here. It's not just those two teams. What happened to losing to Montreal in the North Division? Like, what's the excuse then? And what happened when you didn't beat Columbus in the play-in, in the bubble? Like, whose fault is that? It's no one but the team and the group, which is why I think, with all the changes that they made at the deadline this year, basically changing out a third of their roster, that there's no one that you can look at now in the front office and say, oh man, they left some stones unturned. I personally have some questions about their goaltending. Maybe they came to the determination that Samsonov and Murray combined are about as good as whatever they could have traded for on the open market. And I would tend to agree statistically that that's the case. I still don't think necessarily from the start of the season, that's the path that I would have gone down, reshaping my goalie tandem in the summer. Nonetheless, they've taken all of the blame away from themselves and put it squarely on the players. If you don't get it done now, it's not like we didn't arm you with every possibility to get there. No. And especially if you can't beat a Lightning team that has scuffled. And as you said, their defense isn't nearly as good this year. Victor has been a shell of himself this season for the most part. If you don't win, it's on you.
Yeah. I totally agree. Looking at the Central, you want to talk about the greatest race. Minnesota 93, Colorado and Dallas 92. And Colorado has a game in hand on both Minnesota and Dallas. And you know what? That is a huge race, because, you know, the importance of finishing first is, you know, you get to avoid one of those teams in the opening round. And, you know, it's not like, Winnipeg, if that's who you get, or maybe you get Seattle. Like, it's probably going to be Seattle at this juncture. Or maybe Edmonton, if Seattle can somehow manage to catch Edmonton. So, you know, it's not like the top team, you know, gets a massive break. Although I would still say of all the eight teams in the West, if I'm one of the top four teams and I get to pick 5 through 8, I'm picking Seattle all day long because they're goaltending.
Yeah, I'm picking Seattle too because the relative lack of experience. It kind of feels like whatever happens with Seattle, it's going to be, well, we're happy to be here. We're happy to get in, mission accomplished. We hit our big goal for the season because no one's expecting anything more from the Kraken than that. And that can be a dangerous team to play because they're playing with house money. But I would say in general, they're deep, but their top end skill isn't anywhere near these other teams. And so that's the big difference maker. And that's a big reason why I think this Austin Matthews development in the last, 10 games here is enormous, because I think stars are what put you over the top when it matters most. The depth is great, but you need your absolute best players playing at their absolute best.
Wholeheartedly agree. There's a lot of talk about depth. Yeah, depth is nice. Don't get me wrong. You need depth, but your top end guys are ultimately the deciding factors in 90% of the time. Sure, there's the odd game. There's an odd game on every organization a year where, a Dupuis scored some big goals for Pittsburgh at times in their cup run. And, you had Nick Bonino again for the Penguins. You go down the list of guys on different organizations.
Yeah, remember the HBK line? Everyone's had moments, but look at the Oilers last year. They basically get to round three only on the back of two players. They dispatched the Pacific Division winner in 5 games based on, 15 and 16 point rounds in the playoffs? Yeah. Come on. In 5 games.
Yeah, and Draisaitl was on one leg after the Mickey Anderson takedown.
Mm-hmm. Think about that. So that's where depth comes in the next round in the conference final, because their stars in McDavid and Draisaitl banged up. MacKinnon and Cale Makar they neutralize them, and then it comes down to the depth.
Yeah. Well, and Colorado last year, make no mistake, their depth was way better. There's no Kadri. Right. There's no Burakovsky this year. That's two significant top six guys that are gone. And Landeskog, when he comes back, will have not played all season long. So Colorado, not as deep as they were last year. No question.
But still don't want to play them.
Oh, 100%. I wouldn't either. Right. And Mikey Anderson, not Mickey, but I wouldn't want to play him. Now that leads me to the Kings, Frank. Them and the Blues had quite the game. Kings are up 5-1 after the first period. Looked like they'd coast home. They end up winning 7-6 over the Blues, who are just playing for pride at this moment. The Kings are on an absolute tear and a heater right now. Vegas, same thing. Even Edmonton, the three hottest teams in the NHL since March 1st are all in the Pacific Division. Which one of those teams, Frank, after you look at the last week, do you like the best for a long playoff run in the Pacific?
So my choices are LA, Vegas, and Edmonton?
Yes.
Edmonton. Just based on exactly what I just said.
Okay.
The star power. I don't like Edmonton's goaltending that much either, but I don't think it's any different or any better or any worse than Vegas or LA. And I think the differentiator is the stars. Like, Jack Eichel has had, is it fair to say disappointing? Below
underwhelming?
Average? Underwhelming? Like, whatever you want to call it. Like, I'm sorry. He hasn't come close in just about any year to living up to $10 million a year.
Fair.
Not even close. And that's not just, I'm not slagging one, but it's just a bad contract. And I like the defense core that they have in Vegas. Like, I like Pietrangelo in the playoffs. I think he's such a critical part of whatever success they have. But I mean, Vegas is also missing their sort of emotional leader. They're the guy that's there. He's the straw that stirs the drink in Mark Stone.
What are you hearing on Stone? Is he coming back for the playoffs?
I have not heard anything. I think it's a long shot to think that he plays in the playoffs, but we'll see. The things that I heard again about Stone and not to play Dr. Saravalli on podcast, I know he had the surgery and they're hopeful that he's going to be able to, you know, resume playing sometime soon. That when it happened again, there were real concerns. Is his career over? Like, that was the sort of side conversation, the one that no one wanted to say out loud, is this is the second pretty significant back injury in as many years. At what point does that become a real cause? Like, you can't do anything without your back. Your back and your core, those are like, good luck.
Yeah. Now, here's the other fun stat about Vegas. In the month of March, Vegas has played 13 games. They're 11-2. They've had five different goalies start games due to injuries. Jonathan Quick, Aiden Hill, Yuri Patera, Logan Thompson, Lauren Brossoit. Logan Thompson came back, played his first game in 6 weeks in Calgary last week, got re-injured with 6 minutes to go. Then against Edmonton, Lauren Brossoit played his first game in quite a while. I think he's only played four or five games in the last calendar year, and he's looked pretty good in those games. It's wild to me that a team over a 13-game stretch has had five different goalies start them games. They've gone 11-2. I'm going to say that's never happened in NHL history, because, first of all, it's hard to go 11-2 in 13 games, never mind with five different goalies. And Brossoit and Thompson won their only game. Patera went 2-0. Aiden Hill is 2-1. And Jonathan Quick is 5-1. And that to me just shows you, hey, give Vegas credit. They've overcome a lot of different injuries. How many teams even have five goalies that they could feel confident enough in to play in the NHL in March when you're pushing for a playoff race? So I give Vegas a lot of credit right now, Frank. They've dealt with some adversity, and they haven't let it impact them at all. And that makes them still, you know, a little fearful. If I was, you know, LA or Edmonton or whoever, Seattle, who's ever, Winnipeg, whoever might have to play them in the first round, because it now maybe it becomes an issue in the playoffs, right? We'll see. But that to me is mind blowing. 5-13 games and you go 11-2.
I don't know if it was a record, but four wins in a row from four different goalies.
I'd have to look it up.
That's a banana stat too.
Yeah. So I give him credit. Like Edmonton and Vegas, that was a really good game on Saturday night. Went to overtime, and you know, the Oilers lose, which is
for the Oilers' sake. They better hope they don't play Vegas, because Vegas owns the Oilers in Edmonton.
Yeah, but Edmonton owns Vegas in Vegas, which is crazy, because they're 5-2 in the last 2 years.
Maybe we'd have a rematch. Well, so but Vegas has won more than that in a row. They've won like 8 or 9 in a row in Edmonton,
no,
right?
No. No, because Edmonton beat them 6-something last year. No, Edmonton's 5-2 in the last 2 years over Vegas.
Remember that Rangers Hurricane series last year where every team lost on the road?
Yeah, that could happen. Yeah, 5-1-1 actually is Edmonton because they lost in overtime.
So that'd be wild. What if we got Canes Rangers again too? It's a possibility.
It is. I think the Canes are going to figure. I think the Canes are still going to be. It's going to be New Jersey and the Rangers, which selfishly, that's what
we need.
Yes. Yes. Be awesome. Like New Jersey's three back with and Carolina has a game in hand, right? And Carolina owns a tiebreaker. So it's kind of a 4-point lead with mm-hmm. 9 games to go. It could extend to a 6 game if Carolina wins their game in hand. So I still think Carolina's finishing first. And it's going to be New Jersey and the Rangers. It's going to be no travel. Those two fan bases, shout out, man, because that's a rink. You want to be in either one of those arenas, because I think the rivalry, I'll try to limit the fights amongst the fans. That's what I'd want.
Good luck. Promote.
Fans, try not to start knocking each other out in the arena, okay? It's not cool. You don't need to do it. You don't need to be sucker punching guys.
Good luck.
But it's likely going to happen, sadly.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
Honestly, I look at the first round. Tampa-Toronto has tons of intrigue because Tampa's been to the last three Cups. And even though it looks like they're fatiguing and they're older, and Toronto, this argument might be Toronto's best team. And, you know, they're playing very well right now. We talked about Austin Matthews getting healthy. That's intriguing. Edmonton could play LA again, a rematch, right? If not, they play Vegas. Either way, I think that's intriguing. You look at the second and third, whoever it's going to be, Minnesota, Colorado, Dallas, they're all extremely close. That should be a great series. And then New Jersey and the Rangers. The second, all those 2-3 series will be fantastic.
Yeah, pretty awesome.
Yeah, and that's why it's important to finish first. So don't whine about the format.
It's all anyone can do.
It's good competitiveness. But if you don't want your team finishing second, guess what? Finish first.
Yeah, exactly.
Pretty easy solution. Mm-hmm. So, let's bring in Ty Yaremchuk. Ty, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I did not spend the last week at Disney, but I will say, Jay, I think the lines are a little bit better at Disneyland. I think Disney World, does it not have the reputation as being a little bit crazier at certain times of the year? Like, I went in like middle of December once, and it was actually not that bad. So there you go.
All right. I'll chalk it down. December, Disneyland.
Let's dig into this week's edition of Fill in the Blank, brought to you by our friends at PointsBet Canada. All the latest odds for the NHL up right now, including still some future spots if you want to get in on those before the beginning of the season, or maybe you want to pick a Stanley Cup winner. Also, MLB opening day coming this week as well, which is always a great day on the sports calendar, which is why I'm rocking the Phillies hat for you, Frank. I know
there you
are gearing up for a big year.
Let's
get into things. Last week, I asked you guys a little bit about some upcoming free agents this year, but I want to talk about free agents for the next season, some guys who are eligible for extensions, and we'll do a little Price is Right, see if you can guess the first number in the AAV of these guys.
This is a dangerous game.
It is. We got two RFAs and three UFAs for you to guess. Number one is Elias Pettersson, who is having just an incredible season on that Canucks team. When you consider how dysfunctional things have been for that franchise, for Pettersson to be seventh in league scoring right now, 35 goals, 58 assists, it's incredible. Fill in the blank. Pettersson's next deal will start with a blank. Frank?
Pettersson's next deal. I'm going to say a 10.
Just an even 10. You don't think he gets into that 11 range, considering he's a centerman?
I mean, maybe, but the thing is, I'm looking at Pasternak, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at the deal that he just signed, and that's 11 and a quarter. And Pasternak is 50 goals for basically the second time in his career, the shortened season pandemic in 2020. He had 48 and 95 points. Pettersson, yes, I understand the center quotient. Doesn't score goals at the same rate. Obviously is a bit younger. But the point production is there. So I'm going to say like 10 and a half range.
Yeah, you know, he's I know the most recent year always carries the most weight, and then they'll look back over two or three. And obviously, you know what? Hey, he's in a perfect time to negotiate this summer. There's no question. And, you know, that gets him a 10. I don't think it gets him an 11, because if you go back two or three years, you know, then Elias Pettersson is a guy who's around, you know, he's 1.03 points per game, but his overall points is a guy who's like 30th. Right. And so I think that does matter when they're looking 38th, actually, in fact. So I think that will factor in. That'll keep him at a 10, which is still pretty good. But I don't see him jumping into the 11 spot.
Next up, we'll go to the blue line for a guy who'll be an RFA. Rasmus Dahlin, fifth in scoring amongst defensemen. That deal will start with a blank. Jason?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'm going to say a 9. I think if you look at a lot of the, like Cale Makar is 9 mil, he's an RFA, right? Now, I know it just was signed, but still, it's Cale Makar, and RFAs are still lower than UFAs. There hasn't been a UFA defenseman signed in the double digits since Doughty and Carlson, and, you know, people will say, hey, let's try to avoid that. So I think it's going to be a 9 because of, you know, Hamilton and McAvoy and Jones and Nurse and Werenski and all the others, and also Makar. So I'm going to say 9.
But Makar, they did buy UFA years.
A couple, yeah. They'll be buying a handful from Dahlin if they go long-term, obviously.
Yeah. Right. So, but that changes the equation a little bit. I think for the Sabres, it's really nice that Makar is at 9 million. Cause you point to Dahlin and you say, as good of a player as you are, there's not anyone in this league that thinks you're as good as Makar. So therefore your number starts with an 8. That's what I would say.
Even though the cap might be inching up, you think they could keep him below 9?
I mean, Cale Makar's contract is recent enough.
Fair.
It was signed in 2021. He's only in the second year of his deal. That would be my leverage. And I'd also say, just look at team structure too. Like, that's another big factor.
Yes.
Is look at the deals that have been signed now for Tage Thompson. And then also for Dylan Cousins, they're both in the 7s. Yeah. Defensemen are typically worth a bit more, but the season Tage Thompson is having, like, come on.
Yeah.
I'd say, I'm going to say it starts with an 8.
All right. This next one is really interesting. In Carolina, they opted to go the bridge route with Sebastian Aho, and that means at the end of next season, he is an unrestricted free agent. He's currently at 8.4. Frank, Aho's next deal starts with a blank.
Oh, that one's going to be expensive too.
It's all UFA years, right? And that is a big difference.
Oh, it's a huge difference. It was already at 8.4. Here's the thing is, like, I just don't know, like, so Carolina hates paying market price, right? Mm-hmm. And they always sort of like move on, it feels like. I just don't know how you could make the argument that that team is anywhere near as good without him. So I'm going to say, I'm going to say his contract. I want to say 10. I don't know if statistically he can support 10, but I will say impact wise he can. So I'm going to say 10, but I'm hedging a bit.
Low tens.
Yeah. Yeah. I think if any, like maybe in the 9.75 range on a long-term deal.
Yeah. Go with your gut, Frank. It's a 9. I think this one, I think, is a 9 for sure.
They didn't even blink, though, at matching 8.4.
Yeah. He's under a point per game this year, though. 33 goals in 65 games as well. Like, he's good, but hey. I don't know if I'd go 10 with him.
No, I think it's bang on what you just said. There's not a reason. He's not an elite player.
Yes,
that'd be elite to me to get 10. He's a really, 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 really good player.
No, he's elite.
You might say he's great. He's not elite.
62 I think points, he's elite. Right? He's not going to hit 100 points again.
It's impact. It's impact on the game. It's not points. It's impact. He's elite.
But what impact is he making this elite?
Do you watch the game? Like, everything that they do,
he plays runs through him.
Yeah. He's like among the most complete players in the game. If you're just saying, oh, well, it's only based on points, like, that'd be like saying, oh, Patrice Bergeron's disappointing because he only scores 57 points.
But Bergeron's been point of game player, has he not?
I'm making a point that it's not necessarily what you see on the stat sheet.
All right. Interesting.
It's going to be expensive. It is. It just is.
And especially just because he's a pending UFA, right? And he has the leverage of, like, if you're not going to pay me, some team out there would love to pay me $10 million. Let's wrap.
If you would like a recent comp, look at Dylan Larkin. It's almost the same exact situation. Team really needs the player. Player is, and Aho has been in the 80s before point-wise, and Larkin has not gotten there. And Larkin got 8.7. on a long-term deal, 8 years, they're going to be the same age at expiration. I'm going to say Aho's well north of that.
Yeah. I think it gets 9. I don't think it gets 10. Like, Carolina is a team. If you dig into their analytics and stuff, they're all good, right? Like, the way that team plays, you know, shot 4%, goal 4%, expected goal 4%. It's all really high. But
9.75.
Aho's never Aho's more now. He plays. I'll have to look from Puck IQ what his time on ice is versus elite. I would look at, but I like Aho a lot. It's not that I just, to me, elite are guys like Connor McDavid and Austin Matthews and David Pastrnak, because they're elite at the most important and the hardest thing to do, which is score.
All right, I'm going to go a different direction with this one. Both Matthews and Nylander, UFAs next summer. Can the Leafs get Matthews and Nylander both signed for under $25 million? Frank?
Under 25.
Now, if I set the over-under for those two guys and their deals at 25 mil, it sounds crazy, but like, again, by next summer, if the cap's up 5-6 and if Matthews wants 14, almost 15...
Yeah, it doesn't sound crazy to me. I think I would say yes.
So they can get it done for under 25?
I think so. Like, yeah. How much of a rate? Like, look, Austin Matthews was paid on potential on the deal, and he's hit it with 60 goals. This season has obviously been disappointing, and now we learn that he's hurt, and that changes the equation. But how, like look at the Pastrnak deal. 11.25, like how much more is he getting from the 11.6 he's already making? 13? 14? Like let's call it 14, okay? Is Nylander getting more than 11?
God, I don't think
so.
No.
So I 25, I'm just doing the math, working it backwards. Like I'd be shocked if it's over 25. My jaw would be on the floor.
Oh, yeah. Well, if it's over 25, the Leafs are going nowhere. It's not going to be over 25.
They don't have the room to pay.
Like 22 million is real. 22 mil would probably be high because that's two guys averaging 11. Like one's a winger. So
well, they're already basically at 18.
Yeah. Like Matthews, how much?
They're at 19 almost.
Like how much of a raise is Matthews getting? And what's he worth? Like honestly.
The open market again, right? Like if they... You're going to keep him. He might sit there and say, no, I want to be the highest paid player in the league. The cap's gone up $7 million by that point, maybe, right? And it's like, yeah, I want 15.
Yeah.
Maybe I set the line too high.
Yeah, that's what I would say. I think you set the line too high. But also, like, kind of what we were just saying, like, how much more is Matthews going to get than the 11.6 he already got?
Yeah, like to jump, like if Connor McDavid's the highest paid player right now at 12 and a half, even if the cap's going up, does any player in the league impact the game more than McDavid? How much higher do you go? Like if he wants to go 13, like Malkin got paid more than Crosby. So did Ovechkin due to the timing. And that was the old days of when Crosby had like a 12-year deal or whatever it was.
Well, McKinnon's going to be the highest paid player next year at 12.6.
Yeah, so... It's 12.6. See, he just went up by basically $100,000.
And he's exactly in the same spot that Matthews is. This deal ends at UFA.
So I think Matthews could go to 13, guys, maybe 13 and a half at the most. I don't see it going higher than that.
Right. I agree.
I set the line too high, which is why you leave stuff like that to the professionals, like our friends at PointsBet Canada. That's a wrap on this week's edition of Fill in the Blank.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, it's a good question. Like, I think if you know what they're gonna do in Toronto, I'd like both players. Don't get me wrong, but you know the NHL. I know a lot of people complain about what their superstars make in proportion to the other leagues. All you got to do is look at revenue, and then you have to look at minutes played compared to NBA guys. It's not comparable, right? Your best forwards are playing maybe 22 minutes a night.
Yep. Which is maybe a topic for another pod, but I wonder if we could really begin to push the limits on ice time. These players are in better shape than they've ever been in. Why can't Connor McDavid play 30 minutes a night? Why can't he play 29?
Well, you ask him. I think the overall speed of the game would slow down a bit, but that necessarily wouldn't be bad, right? Like, let's be honest.
How much more production would you get out of them?
Yeah, it's fair.
Seven additional minutes per night times 82 games. That's a significant chunk of ice time with his opportunity to create. That's an additional 575 minutes a game a year. 575.
Yeah, they'd be looking.
And more to the point, less time that your depth guys that aren't really that good are on the ice. Your fourth line guy, you're basically, removing the idea of a fourth line.
Well, could you have your roster at 19 players? Go 11-6. Lots of teams are going 11-7. The seventh defenseman's playing 8-9 minutes.
I don't think you're allowed to. I think you have to dress.
No. Well, unless salary cap rules, right?
But that's my what point I'm saying was, about salary cap rules.
What if you change the CBA and the PA would never go because it loses a spot, but then you'd have more money to, you could take that 750 from your bottom end guy, who's your, and automatically give it to your top end guy.
I've asked a bunch of GMs this question. They all seem to think that 22, 23 minutes a night is a max for a forward, but I don't understand why they're perfectly comfortable with some defenseman playing 28.
Well, the key is, I talked to D-Man and, you don't have to rush up the ice as much. You can kind of, and they wear now a lot of those teams, Frank, they've got the little fob. It looks like a fob that they wear in their shoulder pads. It tracks all their output, right? They do it in practice to see, okay, how are they skating today? What are they putting out? And then they'll see a guy, maybe he's got a virus, maybe he's got an injury, something's low, and they track it all. So I'm sure they do the same in the games. And so they'll know where the player's at. But the truth is the elite guys, they can do their outputs better. It's higher, not just in points, but in actual physical exertion. So it'd be a great scientific question. I don't think the NHL is ever going to give out those numbers, but they would have a good base to use that decision on and say, okay, this is based on the science that we have now tracked for the last few years. It's definitely something they could look at for sure.
I'd be curious to have the conversation at least.
Frank, have a good week. Rest up and we'll talk to you on Thursday.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. And let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.